So just a quick sort of overview of the company, 43.5 million in market cap. That's about 6 to 7 times our annualized quarterly revenue from the last quarter of 2018. 52-week high of 57.5 and a low of 14. Very low trading volumes typically for us, which is one of the issues we're trying to address these days. At I think you see the average 57,000 there at the close of last week. Mostly institutionally owned. The individual ownership at 23% is actually not even 23%. A big portion of that is under a single brokerage. So it's, even less than the 23 there, management owning 4%. All right. So there are two market areas that we address with our contact lenses. As Scott said, these are daily disposable contact lenses, soft contact lenses. The daily disposable part is not the important part. The important part is the optics that we put into the lenses and the people that we address with this. One group of patients that we address with our lenses are people with something called presbyopia. Presbyopia is the loss of ability to see things that are close to you in people who are over the age of 40. It affects virtually everyone over the age of 40 to 45. If you think you're not going to get it and you're 42, in another 3 years, you're going to be holding stuff further away from your face and have difficulty reading menus in restaurants. By the age of 50, most people need correction for presbyopia, whether it's reading glasses or contact lenses. The other patient population that we address with exactly the same contact lenses that we use on the presbyopes are children who are nearsighted. The technical term for children who are nearsighted is pediatric myopia. Of course, pediatric being children, myopia being nearsighted. This has become internationally a very big problem. 80 to 90% of children in the industrialization nations are nearsighted. A third to a half of children in the United States are nearsighted, progressively getting worse. And even in Australia, where you have typically historically enjoyed very low rates of nearsightedness in your children, you've seen a doubling in the last 30 years in Australia in children who are nearsighted. So a pretty big problem. We'll talk a little bit about why that's a big problem. Just some of the key takeaways, though, in the investment proposition. Presbyopia, myopia in the United States, about $5 billion of combined addressable market. Important to note that it's self-pay. Contact lenses are typically paid for out of pocket by patients. In the United States, yes, we do have vision insurance, but that doesn't pay for the lenses for you. It just reimburses you for part of the cost, effectively reducing the cost somewhat. I understand it works very similarly in Australia as well, but typically the patient is paying for it. The reason that's really important is that we don't have to deal with reimbursement or insurance as a medical device company because the patient's paying out of pocket. Very large markets, of course, and our contact lens designs are patented internationally. Very strong protection inside the United States and outside the United States. We hold all of the regulatory approvals that we need in the short term. So we have clearance in the United States. We're obviously selling product in the United States. Last year, we received at the beginning of the year, one of the big milestones for 2018 is we received European clearance for our products. We received clearance in Australia. We received clearance in New Zealand and launched product in all of those places. So in the third quarter, we launched product New Zealand and Australia, signed a distribution partnership for Australia, New Zealand. In the fourth quarter, we signed distribution agreements in the Nordics, part of Europe, and started selling product there. We'll see quite a bit more expansion in 2019 as we open up new territories in Europe. We'll see Canada come online in 2019. We'll likely see Hong Kong come online 2019, potentially Singapore. Japan, China, South Korea typically require much more regulatory work for us. We'll do those through partnerships. And so those are some of the things you'll see in 2019. Just a quick snapshot of the financial accomplishments from 2018. We tripled our revenue over 2017, $3.3 million in revenue from 2018. And a very strong finish to the year. Very important to point out, if you're looking at our quarterlies, that fourth quarter in our industry is typically the weakest quarter of the year. Most companies in the contact lens space contract by 10 to 15% in the fourth quarter. Third quarter is the strongest quarter of the year in our industry. So what you'll see for us and other contact lens companies is a lot of our business for the year done in the third quarter, fourth quarter flat to, you know, even contracting. For some companies, we usually squeeze out a little bit of growth in the fourth quarter. This most recent fourth quarter ended up with flat growth in terms of revenue, which in our industry is pretty good. All right, so just quickly on the presbyopia addressable market in the United States, 152 million people in the United States who are over the age of 40, 8 million of those people are already wearing contact lenses. And so those are pretty easy converts into a presbyopia contact lens. Very few of them are wearing contact lenses for presbyopia. The contact lenses that have been in the market for presbyopia for the past 20 years have done very, very poorly in the market. They've penetrated about 10% of what they should have penetrated owing to very poor performance. But if you just look at the people in the United States over the age of 40 who are already wearing contact lenses, that gives us about a $3 billion market opportunity in the United States alone. Pediatric myopia, this is the nearsightedness in children. 42 million children in the United States, 5 million of them already wearing contact lenses to correct their vision, so the low-hanging fruit for the myopia market. There is a lot of upside in that in children who are not wearing contact lenses but could benefit and should be wearing a therapeutic contact lens like ours. So the 5 million is sort of the bottom, you know, easy part of the market to get to. That gives us about a $2 billion market in pediatric myopia in the United States. Of course, with many of the industrialized nations in Asia being 80 to 90%, or having 80 to 90% of their children being nearsighted, very large market opportunities around the world. China is estimated to be $11 billion of market opportunity for a successful pediatric myopia treatment. Okay, Scott, how much time do we have?
20 minutes, 20, 25
okay,
minutes.
Okay, for your benefit, I'm gonna skip a lot of the technical stuff here. You know, if anybody wants to go deeper into that, you can catch me afterward or get in touch. But just clinically with presbyopia, the way that presbyopia works, again, this is the age-related loss of ability to see things up close. At the age of 30, a typical patient of ours is wearing contact lenses to see distance. And when they shift their gaze downwards towards something that's close to them, their eye will adjust to that and they can see up close just fine. By the age of 40, though, that patient is starting to notice that their contact lenses or glasses still work great when they're trying to look distant, but when they shift their gaze downward to something that's closer, like this guy right here, he's holding it slide deck a little bit further away, that'll get worse and worse until the point at which your arm is no longer long enough to hold things away from you. By the age of 45 on the far right, things that are far away are still in good focus for you using the same contacts or glasses that you've been wearing, but when you shift your gaze downwards, things are starting to become unreadable. And that's when the patient goes to the doctor and says, something's wrong with me, I can't see up close. Nothing wrong with you, you're just getting old. It's kind of like why your knees make noise when you're going upstairs. Nothing really wrong, it's just you're getting old. There are contact lenses that are available for that patient. These are lenses called multifocal contact lenses. And they've been offered by all of the major players in the contact lens industry for the last 20 years. The problem is the clinical performance is very poor. Patient will typically have to sacrifice their distance vision or their near vision, okay, which is disappointing for the patient. Many of the patients who are wearing multifocal contact lenses and have paid the price for those because they are more expensive than regular contacts, end up putting reading glasses over those multifocal contact lenses, telling you that the current lenses just weren't performing very well. That is why Visioneering got started. It was to solve this problem of giving simultaneous distance and near vision to the patient who's over 40 because the need was being poorly solved by the large contact lens companies. Not only is it a bad deal for the patient, it's a bad deal for the practitioner. The lenses that were put out by the major contact lens companies and are, of course, still being sold by them are very complex in their design. And they do require sacrifices by the patient, and it takes time to figure out what that sacrifice is going to be. Some patient may want to give up their reading vision. and put on reading glasses. Some patients would prefer to, you know, have good reading, but for distance vision. And finding that compromise is a frustrating process for your average eye care professional. A patient can end up coming in 2, 3, 4, 5 times to get these lenses optimized and figure out what the combination is going to be between distance and near vision. It's important to note, though, that your typical optometrist or ECP or eye care professional only gets paid for that first visit. After that, they're losing money. And so a lot of optometrists will not even tell you that these lenses exist because they don't want to see you in their office 3, 4, 5 times when they only got paid for the first visit. They'd much rather just slap you into some glasses and have you happy and on your way. So bad experience for the patient, poor experience for the eye care professional, and that's why these lenses have only penetrated the addressable market by about 10%. So Visioneering took a very different approach to designing the contact lens for the presbyope. The typical contact lens for the presbyopic patient is essentially two lenses built into a single lens. In the very center of the contact lens from our competitors, all of them use exactly the same design. In the very center is a power for reading. It's called a plus power. In a ring concentric to that plus power that they use for reading is what's called a minus power, and that's what the patient uses for distance. So you have two lenses within the same lens, two images that are going through the eye and having to be processed by your brain, and your brain has to figure out which of those images it's supposed to be looking at any given time. Am I supposed to be using the part of the lens for near power, part for distance power? And the result of that is just not a very good outcome. So when we set out to design a contact lens, we started from scratch. We did something totally different. We put the distance power in the center of the lens, and we don't have any sharp optical edges. So in the very center of our lens, the way this thing works is the patient sees a crystal clear distance image. As you move away from the center of our lens, the power rises very rapidly and creates nothing but blur. So everywhere in our lens is blurry, and it's blurry by design. The only place where there's a clear image coming from our lens is right in the middle. And what happens is your brain sees all of that blur and suppresses it in the visual cortex, okay? And a result of that, having this nice clear image come through the center of the lens, and understanding this is the part that we skipped for the purposes of time, but you have this nice clear image coming through the center of the lens, everything else is blurry and suppressed by your brain. And the result of that for the patient is clear distance vision with simultaneous clear near vision in this very simple design. So if you look at the box of one of our competitors' multifocal lenses, there's two prescriptions on there. There's one for reading, one for distance, and that makes it very complex and difficult for the doctor to deal with, and also creates sacrifices. You sacrifice one or the other. In our lens, if you look at our box, there's only one power on there. And it's the power that is prescribed for the distance vision. The near vision is taken care of through this other effect where everything is blurred except for the center. And what ends up happening is this very clear distance vision, very clear near vision, very easy for the doctor to optimize because all they have to do is get your distance nailed. Once they get the distance nailed, the near vision, you know, just works because of the way that the lens is designed, which is revolutionary and patented way of doing optics in a lens. So it works a lot better for the patient because they get that simultaneous distance and near vision, and works a lot better for the doctor because that patient's spending a lot less time in their office, so it becomes economical to actually fit the lenses. Make any sense? Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's tough to understand this. You just have to take my word for it without going through the technical background on why that's the case. But that was the goal, simultaneous distance and near vision, while making it much easier for the practitioner to deal with. The clinical results sort of stand for themselves. And the blue bars are the competing contact lenses. The purple bars are ours. What's important to notice here is that we get really high scores on distance vision, and simultaneously get really high scores on near vision. And that simultaneous vision of distance and near was the technical part that had to be cracked. It was the medical need for the patient that had to be solved for these things to work. We're also much easier to fit. The typical contact lens from our competitors takes on average 2.4 visits. with the optometrist. And remember, the optometrist is only being paid for one of those. With ours, they're typically fit, optimized, and out the door in a single visit. So that's important to the optometrists. Talk about pediatric myopia. Again, myopia is nearsightedness, pediatric and children. 80 to 90% of many Asian nations have a group of children, you know, 80 to 90% of their children are nearsighted, which is, you know, a really big deal. And it's not because the kids can't see. You know, if all you had to do was get new glasses every year, you know, that's not that big of a deal for a kid. The big problem with nearsightedness in children is that it exposes them to a lifetime of elevated risk of blindness and other really serious ocular diseases throughout their lifetime. And it's not insignificant. You can have up to a 16-fold higher risk of going blind or having some other serious ocular disease if you are nearsighted. Okay. So if 80 to 90%, for example, 90% of China's children are nearsighted, at some point, 90% of their adults are going to be nearsighted because you can't get rid of it. And they're going to be subject to very high rates of blindness, retinal detachments, cataracts, and all these other bad things that can happen to eyes. And the risk never goes away. So that's really where the problem with pediatric myopia is it becomes adult myopia and it becomes very high risk for these other things happening. Over the last 30, 40 years, as I said before, most countries have seen a doubling in the percentage of their children who are nearsighted. Singapore and China have now declared nearsightedness in children to be an epidemic. It's that serious. There are some treatments that are used for slowing down the progression of nearsightedness in children. And I say slow down because this is the really important part. The more nearsighted a person is, the higher at risk they are because of the way that their eyes become shaped for these blinding events and for these other really serious ocular diseases. So it's been a goal of the industry for a long time to minimize the progression of the nearsightedness in kids. One way of doing that is a drug called atropine. Atropine is not made for the eye, but if you're lucky, you can find an optometrist to make it for you. It's actually a drug that is an antidote to nerve agent. So that's what you're putting in your kid's eye to try to slow down the progression of myopia. And that should tell you how serious this is that people would resort to this to try to slow down the progression of nearsightedness and the worsening. The problem with atropine is that nobody knows the long-term effects of it. The side effects are pretty unpleasant. They sting the eye when they go in. They dilate the pupil. Orthokeratology is something else that's used, ortho-K for short. This is a hard contact lens that's placed on the child's eye at night. It reshapes the eyeball. And you take the lens off in the morning, and the kid can see clearly for at least part of the day. A side effect of doing that to the eye, though, is it reshapes the eye in a way that slows down the progression of the myopia. Atropine and orthokeratology can both slow down the progression of myopia by 40 to 50%, which is really significant. You know, it's better than nothing. The problem with orthokeratology, the lenses are very expensive. They're not supposed to be prescribed for slowing down myopia, so it's what we consider off-label usage. And children are very poor at personal hygiene. So you got this hard lens, they're supposed to be cleaning it every night, they're supposed to be, you know, taking it out in the morning. They forget to take it out, they sit on them, they let the dog lick them, they stick them back in their eye, they end up with a high rate of infection. And so a lot of doctors don't like to use orthokeratology lenses in children because of the high risk of infection and that sort of thing, and the cost. These lenses are thousands of dollars. So when a kid does sit on it or feed it to the dog and you need a new one, it's thousands of dollars all over again. So tough with a kid who's 7, 9, 10 years old and lacks the responsibility that it takes to take care of a medical device. So what the industry has been asking for a very long time is, why can't somebody give us a daily disposable contact lens? Daily disposable because a kid doesn't have to take care of it. We have children who are 4 years old that we've taught to put lenses into their eye and take them back out and throw them away. That's really easy to do. You don't have to teach them how to take care of these things. They just have to learn to put them in, take them out. Give us a soft contact lens that not only corrects their vision so they can see clearly, but also has the potential to slow down the rate at which they're getting worse, thus minimizing their risk of these really bad things happening to their eyes throughout their lifetime. And for reasons that we won't have time to go into, the optical design that it takes to accomplish those simultaneous needs of providing clear vision while at the same time keeping the eye from getting worse is in our presbyopia lens. So we launched Visioneering as a presbyopia company. We launched the product as a presbyopia contact lens in 2016. But right around that time, the scientific community was really starting to understand one of the potential reasons why these kids who are nearsighted get worse, and looked at our lens and says, if that's true, if those theories are correct, then you should be able to take this lens, put it on a child, and slow down the rate that their myopia is getting worse. So they started putting our lenses onto kids in the United States. We can't really tell doctors in the United States what to do with a medical device. If they want to use it on kids because they think it may work, they can do that. We can't tell them not to, but we were lucky they did, because over the intervening years, they started looking at these kids who are wearing our contact lenses, and now 141 of them have been studied and showed that kids wearing our contact lenses, their myopia progression or the worsening of their myopia year over year decreased by 90%. It's essentially stopped. And these kids have vision that's 20/15, 20/20. They have great vision, and they're able to keep their eyes from getting worse by wearing our contact lenses. In Europe, in New Zealand, in Australia, we actually are allowed to, that data is so strong that we're actually allowed to market our lenses for slowing the progression of myopia in children, which is quite a compliment to the product. That other thing you see, 55% slowing of axial elongation. Just really quickly, the reason kids are nearsighted and they get worse is because their eyeball is too long from front to back. And it's really important that any product that is going to slow down the degradation of their vision also stops the eyeball from getting longer. And we have a very substantial, very strong effect in stopping the eye from getting longer, which limits the amount of myopia that they develop. So pretty cool stuff. When we first IPO'd, I think we only had probably a dozen or 14 kids that we had data on, and it was very compelling. It was already statistically significant, even at 14 children. The data has now built out to 141 kids that are being studied. We don't know how many thousands of kids in the United States are actually wearing our lenses, but we are very encouraged by what we're seeing here. So just sort of a quick summary, multifocal contact lenses are our flagship product. That's what we built the company on. The very same contact lens is used for both patients over the age of 40 and in children, to the point where we don't know of our sales what percentage is going into kids and what percentage is going to adults, because it's exactly the same product. The other product that we sell is something called a sphere. A sphere is simple correction of distance vision. Our products are no better, no worse than anybody else's. It's just the spheres are the bread and butter. Probably 80% of the money that a typical optometrist brings in is due to selling spheres. So it's really important that we include that in our product offerings just for mindshare. But the multifocal is the flagship. Just a quick snapshot of the performance of the company. So in 2017, we IPO'd the company on the ASX. 2017 revenue was right around $1 million. We tripled that in 2018, $3.3 million for 2018. We're estimating for 2019 around $7 million, plus or minus a half in the domestic sales, not projecting a whole lot in international sales yet because we just launched. It's very difficult to project where that's going to go. Finished 2018 with $7.3 million cash in a bank. All of this is US dollars. Net cash outflows in the fourth quarter were $2.7 million for the fourth quarter. Those have been going down pretty substantially for the past couple of quarters as we've kept the company the same size and our revenues have been going up. We'll start to see an increase in net cash flows for the next couple of quarters as we build back up some inventory. We let our inventory get pretty low, but overall should be pretty stable. We'll see an increase in inventory purchases and an increase in revenue, but the inventory purchases will only be partially offset by the increases in revenue. Bottom line is with the $7.3 million, we're funded until about September. But obviously, you know, September is not that far away, so we're already starting to look at potential revenue or potential funding sources to fund the next period of growth for the company.